right out, right up, right down, right happy all the time. I'm in right out, right up, right down, right happy all the time. Since Jesus Christ came in and cleansed my heart from sin, I'm in right up, right down, right happy all the time. Bye.
Hey, so good morning to you guys out there watching, and good morning to you guys that are here with us in person. I want to make a little, it's not really a correction, but I want to explain a scripture a little bit better to you guys. Expound on it, if you will. Miss Evelyn W., she wrote me, and she was pointing out something. This was a couple of messages ago, I think, when I was talking on the Catholic Church and how they worship all the skeletons and the dead men's bones and all that. And I'm going to go over this scripture real quick. Matthew 8:22. And I thank you, Miss Evelyn, for talking to me about this, because I didn't bring this out as good as I should have. When you look at Matthew 8:22, this is where one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, well, this is back up to 21. Lord, suffer me, which is allow me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. So I really honed in on the part where when God is speaking to you in person and directly, or to us now by his Spirit in our hearts, and calling you to do something, you go do it. You don't mess with whatever's over here. You go and follow him, right? But I do want to bring out here what Jesus was meaning here about let the dead bury their dead. When you're talking about a dead person and they're still breathing and they're walking around talking and you're like, they look like they're alive to me. Uh-uh. People that are of the world, that are still in their sin, that have not repented and cried out to God or sought him, or, you know, have come after him, like here when Jesus was walking, they weren't coming after him. They weren't out there repenting to John the Baptist and being baptized for the remission of their sins or anything. Those people are what we call dead in their sins. They're spiritually dead. For those of us who have been born again, which means you've asked Jesus to come into your life, and you've laid your life down and picked up your cross daily to follow him, no matter how hard it is, you've given him your life and you've asked him, what do you want me to do for you? What did you create me for? When you're living for him and you're born again, then you are alive in Christ. So your spirit is alive. So there's two things. There's dead in your sins, dead spiritually, and there's alive in Christ. So when Jesus said, let the dead, the spiritually dead, bury the actual dead body, that's what Jesus was meaning. He's meaning that's already done with. And the people that are over there all concerned about that, they're dead in their sins. His attitude was, you're alive. You have a chance right now to be alive in Christ. Come and follow me. That's what we should be about, is being alive by his Holy Spirit and following him. Okay? So thank you, Miss Evelyn. God bless you for talking to me about that. I want to give a shout out real quick to Miss Eve. She's in Florida. Miss Sakara. She's still kind of recently saved. And to Miss Rhonda. I want to tell you guys something. You guys sent some snail mail. And snail mail is a blessing. It comes in the mailbox for you guys who aren't familiar with what that is, okay? And it blesses us here at this ministry, okay, to receive the things that you guys are sharing from your heart and how God is moving through these messages and using us here to reach out to you guys, and because we're all working together as the body of Christ. And I do want to tell you that I used to not understand how it was that somebody was going to do something and letting their light so shine that men would see them and it would cause them to praise God. But I want to tell you something. We're not so big that we can't say thank you for what you guys do to encourage us and your words of blessing and encouragement to us, and as well as what you guys give from your hearts. Because I want to tell you something, all of that causes us at this ministry to give glory and praise to God, because He's moving and flowing. You're not stagnant, okay? And I just want to tell y'all, thank y'all so much for what you wrote. It meant so much. Thank you. God bless y'all. Mwah. Okay. We're going to get right on into it. This is still Mark of the Beast. And I'm going to tell you something. I was working on this yesterday, and I've got about three more parts to this thing. So I'm hoping to wrap it up 11, 12, 13, with about 14 parts, okay? Today, it's going to be on sun worship in the government, in the military, and in big corporations. Now, I'm going to go right over here to Ezekiel, because I've been showing y'all in the Bible how God was against this from the very beginning. You don't get but what? It's either chapter 6 and God brought the flood because everything was already so bad with man. But by chapter 9, Nimrod showed up on the scene. And from chapter 9 through the rest of the Bible, God is battling the sun worship, this moon worship, the star worship, this idolatry, trying to keep His people and call His people out of it. And He's still doing that today, but the church isn't bringing it out so much and teaching on this so much. And I can just tell you, that's a shame. But this ministry will, okay? That's what God's calling me to do. So let's look at Ezekiel chapter 8. I'm going to read probably this whole chapter, y'all. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house, this is Ezekiel talking, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell upon me there, or fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire. And from his loins even upward as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. That's the Lord our God, y'all. And he put forth the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate. Now Jerusalem was where the Lord's temple was. That looks towards the north. Where was the seat of the image of jealousy? There was an image there, and it was provoking jealousy from the Lord God Almighty because the people were worshiping it, which provokes to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. God was showing Ezekiel these things. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up your eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entrance. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, see what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel commits here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. He was getting ready to leave that place because of what they had been doing. If you are not in a church that is being holy to the Lord and that is following Him and His guidance and His lead, living for Him, God's presence will leave that church. He will not stay where there is not holiness, where there are not hearts that are seeking Him truly and sincerely. So this is about to cause him to leave his sanctuary. He's had enough. But turn yet again, and you shall see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. This is God's temple. And they had gotten themselves a little secret room. They thought it was being secret. God knows everything. So I went in and saw, behold, every form of creeping things, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. Now, what do you think that means, portrayed upon the wall round about? An abominable beast? I don't know of any abominable beast that God made. I know the serpent and the dragon and all of that became cursed because of what he did in the garden with Adam and Eve, with that deception. But, you know, that kind of reminds me of some of the things that the Nephilim, you know, they created probably. But I'm just speculating there, you guys. But here it is. They've got all these beasts all around this room. They've got them hanging on the walls. They've got pictures. They've got idols. This means they have their statues, their pictures, their like totem poles, everything that they had back then, they had in this room. And there stood before them, before all these idols and all these abominable beasts and all these creeping things, 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. That means the elders that should have known better. And in the midst of them stood Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan, and every man his censer in his hand. Now you can see that in the Catholic Church. They have those censers where they do their little incense burning and the smoke comes out and they swing it around. That's what this is here. His censer in his hand, because they were supposed to be priests. They were supposed to be ministers ministering before the Lord. That incense was supposed to be burned for him and him alone. Now they're in here in this secret room with all this junk in there and all this stuff on the walls that nobody was supposed to be bowing down to. And they have 70 of them. And they all had their censers in their hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, have you seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. For they say, the Lord sees us not. The Lord has forsaken the earth. He said unto me, turn yet again, and you shall see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Now that's little demon baby Tammuz that I'm always beating down on. In today's world, you know him as Horus. You know him as the all-seeing eye. You know him as Lucifer. Okay, you know him as the reincarnation of Nimrod. That's who this is, that they were sitting out there at the Lord's temple, the Lord God Almighty, weeping over little Tammuz. Then said he unto me, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn yet again, and you shall see greater abominations than these. Do you see how God was taking him through step by step? And he kept saying, come here and I'll show you something worse than that. Come here and I'll show you something worse than that. Come here and I'll show you some more. How filthy this was before him, a holy God. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, the inner court. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, which means 25, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces towards the east. Now, what rises in the east? And they worship the sun toward the east. It don't get much plainer than that. That's Baal. That's Nimrod. That's Tammuz, Horus, Osiris, all of it. There they were in his temple, in the inner courts, with their backs towards him. And they were facing the sun because they were in there worshiping the sun god. Then he said unto me, have you seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. You want to know what provokes the Lord to anger faster than anything else? When you, his creation, bows down to a different god, another god, which is demonic and satanic, which he created. He created that sun. He created Lucifer and people are bowing down and worshiping the creation and not worshiping the Creator. He said, and lo, they put the branch to their nose. Oh, man, if I'd have known I was going to read that, I got something to share with y'all on that. I'll just tell you right quick, but this I won't have my link to it. But I ran across, I'd always wondered about that. But they're still doing that today, where they have these branches that they stick down in the ground and they light them. And it's prayers being offered, not to the Lord God Almighty, to their gods. And they light this thing and they make prayers to it while it's burning. And they, I'll have to bring a teaching. I'll have to bring a teaching on that. You guys can probably find that online. That's idolatry, what he was pointing out there, putting the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. My eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. You do not want God fighting against you. And that's exactly what the tribulation is about. These people who are deep into this idolatry, that's what we're going to be bringing out today. They're going to have God fighting against them. You're going to lose every time. So we can see right there how that whole chapter is about Nimrod, it's about Semiramis, and it's about Tammuz, or the Queen of Heaven, who they now call Mary in the Catholic Church. All of that was idolatry. And you're all the way over now to the book of Ezekiel, which is a prophetic book. And God was leaving his temple. You can read right there and find out where his presence left. And people think today, he's the same God, yesterday, today, and forever. And people think today that they can go around and live unholy and live in sin. And we're the temples, right? And that he's just going to stay in there. Did he not give us a concrete example right there in the Old Testament? If you're going to muck up his house and bow yourself down into idolatry, and yet you think his Holy Spirit's going to stay, those people that are doing that, preaching once saved, always saved, wrong. That is a wrong, bad teaching. I'm telling you what. It's horrible that you can't even read and study and know the character of the God that you serve. He is not going to stay in a defiled temple. Messing up and crying out to him, that's one thing. But staying in your sin like they were, that's something totally different. And he knows. We may not know those boundary lines. That's why you don't even want to play with it. But he is the one that knows, okay? He's the judge. We can't look at somebody and say, well, you done crossed the line now. Holy Spirit done left you. We don't make those calls. God does. But we sure are to warn and caution our brothers and sisters in Christ when we see something in love. And I'll tell you something else God laid on my heart. All these people, they know how to pull a couple of scriptures to fight about. Grace and love, they want to pull those two out. My God is love, and he is about grace, but he is a God of judgment, and he is a God of war. And I tell you, if you don't know that, King David was a man after his own heart. He was a warring king. He had to conquer the territory. The church is supposed to be militant. We're soldiers in Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be kicking the gates of hell down. And instead, we're just sitting around wanting powder puff messages. Okay, let's get on into it. Look at this first picture, y'all. This is just a common picture of Freemasonry that I pulled. You can find them, I've said it before, with two pillars, three pillars, four pillars. You'll find them with Jacob's ladder, that stairway going up, and all kinds of junk. I pulled this one because it portrays what I'm talking about here, the sun, the moon, the stars, and there's that eye of Horus with its little rays coming down. Because remember, that sun image is Nimrod, that eye image is Horus. Both of them are Lucifer. This little moon over here, well, that's the Queen of Heaven, Semiramis. Guess what? Behind all of that's Lucifer too. And remember, he likes to be male and female, so all of that is about bowing down to him. And Freemasons, who's running our country, who's running our governments, who's running our military, who's doing all this? Because Satan is called the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, because Adam lost the title deed to this earth, but Jesus Christ is about to come back and take it back. He's already won the victory. He's already made us overcomers and conquerors, more than conquerors. But you have to know who you are in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you're just whipped up in a corner and scared. I know people that are scared to say Satan. They're scared to say, what's that God with the horns that looks all crazy? That demon, Pan and stuff like that. I had a lady I was counseling on the phone, and she was like, ooh. I was, you know what you're doing when you're doing that junk? You're giving it power. It sees, oh, this person is even scared to say my name. It's pretty sad. Okay. So we're going to find out these people are still worshiping the sun today, just like what God just pointed out to Ezekiel. The Illuminati, and we've talked about them so much, you guys ought to know who they are, okay? Those are the secret esoteric societies that go way back to Babylon and Egypt, okay? It comes straight forward to today. And since we, the church, we haven't kept up with the pagans, right? We think we started doing our own thing and they were doing their own thing. Well, while we were both doing our own thing and we were just kind of like not looking, well, they're actually loaded up in the church. They're actually even standing in the pulpits, okay? And the church quit teaching about what they were doing over in their camp. So then the church didn't recognize all this idolatry and pagan stuff anymore because they brought it into the church. That's the biggest deception, is the church is participating in this stuff and don't even know it. I've heard testimonies now from people coming out of witchcraft that said they go into the church and the very things that they were doing in witchcraft, the church is doing. And so they're like, they don't know where to turn because they left that stuff. God called them out of it, and now they can't find a church that's not doing it. It's okay. These people who are doing this, they're in a covenant with Satan. We're in a covenant. If you have Holy Spirit, you're in a covenant with Jesus Christ. You're in a covenant with somebody right now, whether you know it or not. Now, they're working openly now more than ever before. They have filled our world with their occult symbols, colors, architecture, art. We've been going over all that. Their movies, cartoons, video games, their news media. I think it's funny now. I'm just on a tangent, y'all, but how the news is now saying about YouTube and different truthers, that's fake news. That's fake news. Because they know we're onto them, and we've been calling them out. And we've been telling you guys about the fake news and about all of the red flags and about all of the hoaxes and how all this stuff has been planned by them. Yes, sometimes people are actually killed. And you know what they call that? A sacrifice to their God. And we haven't even realized what they've been doing. They got their certain dates and their little unholy days and all of this stuff where they plan and do these things on purpose. So fake news is what you see on TV. It's bought and paid for. We're going to bring that out in this message, actually, you guys. So, okay. There are some who have testified of meetings being run by demons, which we know they have said are aliens. And the Pope said, we're supposed to love them, and he would baptize them and all of this junk because he's getting ready to come out with that. What do they say? I've seen so many people talking about who is going to be to get the one to do disclosure on it, to bring it out to everybody, to announce it. That's why they're conditioning us, and they've been doing it for a long time. So we've been hearing about these meetings that are being run by these so-called aliens, which are demons. Demons, fallen angels, I don't really care which one it is. But I can tell you that a fallen angel will have more satanic power than a demon will. Demons are the lowest of the low, okay? So, That we know that they represent Satan, and they're now openly running these groups that serve them. Phil Snyder, Karen Hudez, Edward Snowden, and there are more online than just them that have testified about this, that have spoken out about it. Now, under the demons or the fallen angels is the Vatican. That's the popes, the Jesuits, and the Catholic Church in general, the top. Because the bottom people who half the time, they don't even know what they're in agreement with. what they've signed on to when they have bought into the Catholic religion. But I would encourage you to just go and on YouTube, Google Three Hearts Church Catholic, and look at those messages, because I'm trying to bring awareness to what you guys have made a covenant with by being in the Catholic Church. God wants you to come out of it, okay? It's not a hate thing. It's talking to you in love, because I don't want you to just walk straight into hell, okay? All right, so remember, most of the ones on the world stage, you know, they're just puppets. You know, they're not always the ones we think are the big shots. A lot of times they're just puppets. Okay? The masters, the puppet masters, are behind the scenes, like the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the Bilderbergers and those guys, okay? Which they kind of keep a low profile, except for what's-his-face Soros, who's been paying protesters and bussing them in to start riots and stuff while he blasted his name out there. And what's-his-face Gates, who goes around trying to pump everybody up with some vaccines to make them sick and kill them off or take all their money, okay, which is all a money-making industry. And God bless you, Miss Julie. She's out there coming against the healthcare industry, which she says is disease care, and it's true. And she is speaking out about that stuff. God's really placed that on her heart. And she is doing awesome talking about that stuff, exposing it. So let's take a look at some more of their symbols and hidden messages to each other. Now, this first one right here, for us here in the United States, and this really affects everybody around the world, because for whatever reason, United States sticks their nose in everybody else's business, right? And so here we are with Obama. Well, there we are with that little rising sun. And, you know, and they've got their little messages in the colors and everything, too. But from the Middle East, we here in America, we would be considered west of the Middle East, right? So in the Quran, which is for the Muslims, that's their holy book, okay? It's either the Quran or the Hadith, okay? Don't even get me going on that junk. It's in one of them too. There's a prophecy about the end of days when the sun rises in the west. Now, I think Obama chose that symbol on purpose, and it does have a dual meaning. They like that too, duality. And I'm going to tell you something. God said the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God is not about duality. You better check which God you're serving when you get into that black and white, good and evil and all that. Not the Lord God Almighty. He don't play that game, okay? So this is for sun worship, and it's for that Islam prophecy, because he's made it clear here in America. He don't call them, terrorists. He don't even say that kind of stuff. He tries to say, oh, it's peaceful and it's this and it's that. And it's like, seriously, dude, we're not, you know, what did he say one time? He said, we're not basically smart enough to make our own decisions. Really? So, okay, could this rising sun in the west have to do with technology? Oh, this is what I'm saying. This also could have to do with technology. As far as the sun rising in the west and their prophecy becoming fulfilled when that happens, because there are many sites right now out online that I feel like are verifiable ones. You can do your own research on it, that are showing two suns out there right now, okay, in different places around the world where they have their cameras set up. And yes, they vetted the pictures, they vetted the videos out, and proven that it's true. And that one guy even told us that they have, NASA, that they have created fake stars and stuff. Now, you got to wonder, why are you doing all this junk, okay? What's your purpose in doing that? Deception. Okay, so now look at this next picture. This is a picture of a UN meeting held in San Francisco here in California, in the United States, and it's so obvious when you look at, I mean, they plan their angles with their pictures. They plan this stuff on purpose. This picture was not taken from this angle by accident. It's the same thing when you see pictures, and you can find them out there, of a president, and there's like a round lighting above his head, and he's standing perfectly. He's not over here. He's right up under it, like making it look like a halo, which is for sun worship. This is planned also. Now look at this. It's so obvious that they made those sixes bigger than what the O that would be going around the world for the O for 60. They emboldened those sixes and made them larger than the circle of the earth. And you can see 666. And I brought that down here in the next picture, just so you can see without the flags and the people in the way, how they did that on purpose. Now, let's look at this next one. This is inside the United States UN building. This is their meditation room. Well, wow. And that is a stone altar. It is an occultic, and there's an occultic mosaic piece, that looks like artwork. And this room is shaped like a triangle without the capstone, which we just learned, or I had just learned, that the capstone, when that's put in place, is standing for when the Antichrist is ushered in. Then that piece will be in place, right? Now, I want to tell you, when you look at that mosaic piece, when you really look at it, there's a ton of triangles chopped up all through the thing. You can see the sun, you can see the moon, and that little ziggly thing going up the middle, you can clearly see that looks like a snake. They got all their junk represented in there, but to the regular, oh, that's just artwork. You know how they just splash paint on stuff and say, you see, it was just art. Yeah, art with a purpose, done on purpose. And all of that is sun worship, moon worship, star worship. All of that is Baal, Ashtoreth, Tammuz. And this altar, I don't know about y'all, but any church that I've ever been to that has altars down front where you can go and kneel and pray and cry out to the Lord, you can't kneel at that thing and cry out and do anything. That ain't the right kind of altar, if you know what I mean. Okay, look at this next one. This is North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And there's a star in the round circle. The next one. This one is, you can almost read that, Central Intelligence Agency of the United States of America. Remember how I tell you, they've been going after every kind of star they can. They don't care how many points, how many triangles, how many whatever. They've got it mixed in their stuff. This one's like a 16-point star. Look at this next one. This next one is the modern Republican elephant. And I say modern because those little stars up on his little self used to not be turned that way. They used to be turned with the point up. Now, if you notice, they're pointed for Baphomet's face to fit in there. Okay? For Satan. They made this change. And they did it on purpose. Look at this next one. This is our dollar bill here in the United States. We can't forget that the dollar bill has that pyramid on it, okay, which stands for sun worship, and that in particular is supposed to be the Eye of Horus with the sun rays coming out, and that is the same thing for Eye of Lucifer, the all-seeing eye. And it's hovering. Notice it's hovering, waiting to be put in place. And, you know, like I just talked about, when it's put in place, it's supposed to be when the Antichrist has arrived. And he's doing his thing, okay? Now, look at, I'm going to throw little Bush under the bus. Here he is up here making his little speech. And look at his picture. Okay, see the sixes around the earth? They've kind of made it look like a ribbon that came undone. There are exactly three of them in this picture. They take their pictures that they publish and they put out on purpose. And you know how they try to, even like Scott, he just was saying, he goes, yeah, I saw him with the global whatever. And that's what caught his eye, is the whole global thing, because that's how they talk. One world, new world order, new age, global this. And that's what he was noticing. I said, yeah, and look how they made the sixes around it. And then he was like, yeah, see how they try to do that? And a lot of us don't pick up on that. Okay, let's look at this next one, and I'm going to try to break this down for us. This next one, they said, is an EU official Tower of Babel poster printed before 1992. So, okay, when you look at it, I want to tell you something. The elite, they know full well what happened at the Tower of Babel. You read it in the Bible, okay? That's when Nimrod was trying to do his thing, rebelling against God, and that was the first government where he had everybody, that one world government, in God's face against him. They weren't worshiping him, okay? And you know what God did? He confused their languages and scattered the people. He's like, enough with that. They left off building that tower. It didn't get completed and all that. That's why when you see it in these depictions and stuff, it's not completed. But I want to tell you something. They're all about trying to do that again. They don't care. They think, well, we're going to do it this time. You know, rally the troops because we're going to get it done. So, okay. I didn't print this big enough for me to read it out either. So this first printing was 1992, and they tell when else it was printed. But they go down here, and they're pointing out, well, this cover of this thing says global tyranny, step by step, the United Nations and the emerging New World Order. It's a book that was written. In this book, when you look at page 254 and 255, you see that Tower of Babel. But look at those stars. Do you see those stars even in the top left corner? That they're facing in such a way, going all the way around this thing, that they're facing for Baphomet's face. And here's the thing. They're going right back into defiance against God. They never came out of it. And this, they do the things that they do and choose on purpose. This is in honor of their God. And this is letting the rest of the world know who they are, who they serve, and what they're about. But the rest of the world, like me, I didn't go around studying all this satanic occult junk. That's not who I'm worried about. That's not who I'm serving. But it does behoove us to understand this so that we can understand what's going on in the world that we're living in, because God placed us here to make a difference. And if you don't know what's going on, how are you making a difference if you're not even praying against this stuff and waking people up around you about it? Look at this next picture. Just so you know, I'm fixing to throw our military under the bus. But I want to tell you guys and girls, women out there who are in that haven't known, because I just am learning too. God is showing me all this stuff. We don't want to get mad at each other, because I'm not saying it's y'all. We have to remember it's at the top who chose the logos, who chose the emblems, who chose those things. Us regular people didn't, okay? It's the ones who were bowing down to that idol worship. So all I want to do is bring it out to you so you can understand. And I mean, it's a whole different message, but about how all of our wars, of course, they've been planned, and somebody could say, well, that's your strategy. We have to plan how we're going to win. But it's like, oh, yeah, you got something we want? Oh, we're going to come take it. And it's not land and oil all the time. It is those things, too. But it's, oh, diamonds? Yeah, we're coming. We do that stuff over in Africa. Oh, yeah, you got some, what do they call that, ancient, like, relic stuff? You got some bones and stuff you found. Well, guess what? We're going to go start a war so we can take that stuff. And that's exactly what we do. So, okay, here we go. The first one is the U.S. Air Force. And this little satanic occult symbolism stands for the sun. You got the circle. You got the star. And now you got these wings. And you got triangles thrown in there, too. Whenever you look at those, I'm going to go deeper into the wings in a couple of messages. Probably closer to Valentine's Day. We're going to really break those wings down. But when you look at this, all of it is for sun worship. It's for Isis, Horus, Saturn. Can't forget Saturn, because that's another form of the sun, because they used to worship it as the black sun. Okay? All of that's right there in that little United States Air Force logo. Now let's look at the Army. Let's get them fired up. Here this is, this star is for Saturn, Satan, Nimrod, sun god. And I mean, we've got stars all over everything. And you could say, well, Sherry, that's like a common, you know, come on, give me a break, right? And sometimes it is, but most of the time it is not. Because you have to remember the tops and who it is that they worship and who it is that got to make the decisions on what they're going to have in their logos and stuff. Look at this next one. I thought it was real cool how God showed me this, because this one I was having a really hard time with, and I prayed about it and everything, and because I'm going to work up to what it was that I wanted an answer on. And he popped an answer on me the other night. And when he does that, it's like a big surprise, like a sneak attack. But he's not attacking. He's just surprising you. And I'm just like, wow, he's amazing when he answers prayer like that. Because when you look at this, this is a flaming heart. You see that heart with the flames coming out? Okay, that's for Tammuz. We just read about him in Ezekiel, where the women were outside of the Lord's temple weeping for Tammuz. Okay, that's for sun worship, because he's Horus, reincarnated Nimrod, who's Baal, right? Okay, now, you see this anchor? That symbolizes being anchored to the gods of the sea. And the biggest god of the sea was Dagon, who is Baal, Nimrod, the sun god. He's that fish god. Now, notice this cross. And you think, oh, well, yeah, every time people see a cross, they think, oh, well, that's holy. Yeah, no, that's not what that always means. That cross right there, that's not for Jesus. And remember, Tammuz, his little name started with that T, which that Tav, which they do that little cross, trying to imitate Jesus when he was hung on the cross. Now, listen to this. When you look at this next one, because you're going to see this stuff all up in the Catholic Church. When you start seeing people's, what do you call those things? Coat of arms and stuff like that. You're going to see this kind of stuff mixed in there as if it's holy stuff. You have to break it down piece by piece for what it really means. So when you see this in hoc signo vinces in Latin, in this sign you will conquer. Okay, most of you guys have probably heard Constantine. Okay, he supposedly saw a cross in the sky, and that's when he began to merge the Christianity and the paganism, because he never stopped worshiping the sun, okay? Well, that's what this means. In this sign, you will conquer. And the cross in this crown, that's Masonic. This also has to do with, you know how they're all about their orgies and their fertility and all this? This has to do with the male and the female and the penetration and all this stuff, just for putting it out there boldly, you guys. That's what they do. Now, all of that was kind of like background for breaking down this next one, the United States Marine Corps, okay, Department of the Navy. Now, I don't have this symbol totally broken down, but I can tell you the part that God's already revealed to me. Because I want to tell you something. When you really look at the military, which I'm going to bring that out some more in just a second, you are going to find some of the most ungodly things. And like I said, it's not like the people that just enlisted are the ones making those decisions. It's coming from the top. Okay, look at this anchor going through the earth, right? Notice on the end that it looks like an eye. See that anchor? One end's got like an eyeball on it. And doesn't it kind of make that look like a fish? Don't that kind of look like a fish head? Uh-huh. That's because that's symbolic of Dagon, the fish god, who is Baal, Nimrod. Okay, look at this next picture. So, you see this guy standing over here. You'll find him in all of the old ancient, you know, drawings and depictions and stuff. With he's wearing like a whole fish. He gutted that thing out and put that thing on like a hat. Okay, and then you see him over here, bowed over, Dagon. Now, I want to read this real quick because I want you guys to remember what God thinks about Dagon. And any other god for that matter. 1 Samuel 5, 1 through 4. Okay, 1 Samuel 5, 1 through 4. And the Philistines took the Ark of God. They had captured the Ark of God from the Israelites. So they took it and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon. That was their god, okay, the fish god, which equates to Baal, the sun god, and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. Looked like he was over there worshiping the one true and living God, huh? And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. They had to go set him up because he couldn't set himself up because he wasn't real. He ain't alive, right? And when they arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. This is another, the second time. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Now see, this time when God knocked him over and said, "You will bow to me," his hands got broke off and his head got broke off. And he says, I want to tell you something. I have seen in some research where they're saying because the mark of the beast is going to be either on the hand or the forehead, that was symbolic of what God did there, breaking those things off. But I don't know how much any of that has truth in it. But look at this next picture. This picture shows the popes, they wear the same fish mitre today, worshiping the fish god, the sun god. You see that on the top? Which if you turn that thing sideways, looks like a fish. That's because they're worshiping the same god that they were worshiping way back in the Bible, okay? Now, talking about how our military has all these satanic patches and logos and things, as well as NASA, they all do it too. If you go out there and you search their patches for different missions, for different projects and stuff, you're going to find this stuff. People are selling, this is where I found this next one. People are selling these things and collecting them because they're now collector's items and stuff. Let's look at this next one. This next one says, Sons of Satan. And look at him. That's how we all have heard that he's been depicted, right? And that kind of goes along with his Baphomet form. Because I know sometimes I tell y'all he ain't running around looking like that. And somebody was like, but he does too. Yeah, he does. He can look any which way he wants to. He can appear as that beautiful angel Lucifer from heaven, right? Or, you know, all beautiful. Or he can appear like this ugly little thing, his little goat looking self, right? So here this patch is, and this is original issue Sons of Satan, U.S. Marine Corps. They have VMSB 241. That thing sold back in 2009 for $1,036. And who would want that thing? You know? Look at these next medals. This first one, Army Medal of Honor. And somebody wrote this stuff in here. Goddess Minerva is who's on that. Well, you know, we're supposed to be a Christian nation, aren't we? That's not anything to do with God the Father or Jesus Christ. Okay? This next one, Navy and Marine Corps Medal of Honor. And this, again, they say Minerva. Repairing Discord. Wow. This last one over here, Valor, the Air Force Medal of Honor. Well, there's the Goddess of Liberty. She's nothing more than Mary. The Catholic Church's Mary, not our biblical Mary, okay? She's Isis, Ashtoreth, Queen of Heaven, who God stands against. So there they are. This is what they're doing with their patches and their medals and the things that they're putting on our military men and women. They probably think it's funny when people are honestly signing up and enlisting to better themselves, to you know, to get an education or to make a salary or to help this country, right? To fight for their country, which they love, not realizing what they're really signing on to. It's just a bunch of Illuminati-run wars, and they think it's funny putting their emblems of their gods on our men and women who don't even know any better. Some of them, yes, who buy into that and have sold out to that idolatrous system, proudly wear it, but and some people proudly wear it because they don't even know, okay? But it's sad. Look at this next picture. This was the NBC News desk reporting on the U.S. presidential election of 2016. This desk is in the shape of a star. It goes all the way down in multiple layers, and it's the red, white, and blue, but it is a star many times over going down. Now, I said we were going to talk about our media. Remember, most of our media is owned and run by the Khazarian Jews, and all of that is rolls right in with the Vatican. It rolls right in with the secret societies. That's who's running everything. That's who's rolling out our fake news and stuff. I tell you what happens to me now that God's woken me up. When I hear about a tragedy or something went down, I don't listen to the news. I go right over on YouTube and I find the truthers that break those hoaxes and those false flags down, because there are some out there who are so good at picking that stuff apart and showing you what really happened. And you remember the one girl who we've seen at like three or four different disasters, not just here in the United States, but over in France too. And we said, oh, you've had a bad day when you see that girl walking down the street, because something's fixing to happen. We've now got people who look in the newspapers. You can even search this stuff after the fact, after something happens or beforehand. They're looking for crisis actors. I mean, come on, y'all. And people will fight you down about this stuff. If you say something wasn't real, oh, they will try to tear your head off. But, and you got to be careful on YouTube also, because they know that we know that we're all waking up more and more, right? So they have their what I call plants out there who are doing nothing more than running interference and trying to throw you off of what's real and what's not. And like Miss Linda Kirby, she does so awesome. God leads her, and she shows so much stuff that's going on that is so ridiculous in this world. She breaks down the news, she brings you the news, and she's a Christian, okay? And I do believe in her, you know, what she's bringing, because she's led by God. And always, even this ministry, anything you watch or listen to, you guys, you have to be led by the Holy Spirit. You got to pray about it. You got to seek in His Word. You got to ask Him to show you, lead you, and guide you, and He will, okay? You pray for more godly discernment, godly wisdom, and godly knowledge, okay? And read His Word. Seek His face. This next one here, talking about the fake news, the television that's owned by the Jews. And I'm not saying the Jews, but I'm saying the Khazarian Ashkenazi Jews, who are what we call the fake Jews, who do not love and serve. We know, we think, oh, well, they haven't accepted Jesus as their Messiah, so that's okay that they blow Him off, and it's really not okay. But we say, well, they're supposed to love the Lord God Almighty, the Father. They don't even love Him. That's what I'm trying to say. It's those Jews, okay? Because I love the Jews. That's God's bride, Israel, the true ones. Okay, that's His wife. But these ones that own our media, bought and paid for news, look at this CBS logo with the big eye right there. Okay, and it's all about the sun as well, because that's the all-seeing eye of Horus, Tammuz, the sun god. Look at NBC. Well, it's a peacock. What does that have to do with anything? Everything. Okay, the peacock is generally thought to be a symbol of the sun. How it has its feathers all spread out, okay? Now, you can imagine, like, the sun's rays, okay, spreading out across the earth. But something else I want you to look at or want you to know, aren't peacocks flashy? And don't they appear, like, proud because they're beautiful? And haven't we heard that strutting like a peacock, right? So, also, look at the eyes that look like eyes all over the peacock's feathers. The eye of Horus, Tammuz, Baal. Listen to this. Isn't a peacock proud like Satan was proud and got himself kicked out of heaven? So, yes, they like the peacock. When you look into the occult, you'll see that that's one of their animals. That's one of their, out at the Vatican, I didn't pull a picture of this. You can find it online. They got that big pine cone standing for the pineal gland, because they're all about trying to open the third eye. Okay, that's all about ascending and consciousness and having the snake crawl up your spine and do all that junk. All of that is about worshiping the sun. They have that big pine cone out there, and they have two peacocks facing it. So when you find peacocks linked to the Vatican, you know something's up, and it stinks. This is an old-looking one, but that's the Eye of Horus that you always see all, like in Egyptian, all made up, and that's all sun worship. And you also see the sliver of the moon. You see the round disc for the sun, as well as you see each one of them represented there, up there like in person. That's the all-seeing eye. Look at ABC. ABC is right now it's on a big black disc for the black sun, okay? When you add up these letters esoterically, so occultically, you get 33. Isn't that, and they do that kind of stuff in all kinds of stuff. That's the Freemasons number, 33. And that ain't the highest level. They got levels beyond that too. But they like 33. Okay, look at this next picture. I thought this was interesting when I run across this. This view is showing the ABC Entertainment Center with the Century Plaza Towers in the background. Now, this is as seen from across Avenue of Stars in front of the Century Plaza Hotel. Now, look right here at this fountain. You see how that fountain is in the shape of an eye? And we're fixing to see something else with that fountain. And remember how they're all about towers, pillars, and Freemasonry. Now, here's a better, a more aerial from up over the top view of the same stuff we were just looking at. You can see the shape of the towers better. You see how they're made in the shape of a triangle? Okay. You can also see, and of triangles and pyramids, that's all about sun worship. Now look at the base of these towers. You see that circle with that dot in the middle? And last week we were bringing out how that's about sun worship. That's the sun symbol. Now go just across the highway. And you see, that's what we were looking at just a while ago. That is shaped like an eye with that fountain in the middle. That's the all-seeing eye of Horus. And that fountain, that the water is forming a six going one way and a six going the other way. So 69. When you look at that in astrology, that stands for the zodiac sign of Cancer. Now, I just want to throw this in here with y'all because that little shape right there, okay, we as Christians, we've been being taught that, of course, to have a little tail on it, but like, oh, that's the Jesus fish, right? That stands for Jesus and all of that. And that's what Christianity has welcomed it in as. Now, I will tell you that sometimes the Satanists in the churches or the Freemasons who are running the churches want you to believe that's what that is about the fish and the loaves that Jesus multiplied and, you know, being a fisherman of men and those kind of things. But I want to tell you something else. Remember how the occult is all about fertility and orgies and sexual perversion? That little symbol that we all have thought was a fish, when you turn it upright, they say that is the part of the female body, okay? And that stands for Isis, Ashtoreth, Semiramis. And also, it is worshipped sometimes as the womb or as the female body part. And you'll see in our Washington Monument comes out of that very shape. There's two circles, and they overlap each other, and they make that very shape, and that monument comes straight up out of it. So I'm sure you can get the picture on what's being relayed there between them. But now we can know how sick they are and what all this that they've built around our world means. Look at this next one. Here's Madonna. And she's got these two guys up here with her. These, you know, this is our entertainers and actors have mostly all bowed down to Baal. And many of them are programmed and they have been broken since childhood. A lot of them were born into this. They were born into this industry. Okay? Some of them, though, went along with it willingly just to get fame and fortune. Satan don't care how you buy into it, how you bow down to him. He's not picky. He'll take you any way he can get you. Now, many of these actors and entertainers, they're cloned, and they are, who knows? And I say this all the time, who knows who's really still alive in that industry, in the music and in acting? Who knows? Because they clone them up. They can move. Remember, they know how to clone and how to implant consciousness on a chip and then program that person forward. So if the person died, but they had their consciousness on a computer chip and they put it in a clone of them, you wouldn't know because that person would remember everything that the dead person knew. Then going forward, well, they just have their new memories, right? Or the programmer can program them. And they also do that with the clones who come out on stage for presidential speeches and different things like that. And they program them for what they're going to say and what they're going to do. That's why sometimes you catch them having a glitch. Just like we saw Al Roker when the lady on there said Holy Spirit and he just turned and like he went into a trance. The minute she says Holy Spirit, he froze. That had to do with his programming. Okay. So right there, you see the sun, you see the moon, you see the star, and over here, you've got the six-pointed star, which is for Saturn, which was the black sun. So they're all represented right here on these two guys standing there with Madonna, which we all think is just, oh, just entertainment. Yeah, it's entertainment, all right, but they're sending messages through their entertainment. Look at this next one. You guys who watched that series, Satan in the School, I think I did two or three parts on that. You'll know about the black cube of Saturn. Look at this. Here's one in Australia. They're all around the world. And they symbolize sun worship, which is Baal worship. The black cube is derived from the hexagon, remember, on top of Saturn. And you can, from that, you can get a 3D cube, and I'm going to show you a picture of how they're doing that. Look at this. There's one in Australia. Here's one in Denmark. There's one in Manhattan. And here's one over here in Santa Ana. And see, we've all just thought, oh, that's just their crazy abstract art that they put out there. Yes, they do put it out there, but they have a reason. They're trying to flood our world with their symbols, with their art, with their occultic meaning, so they can bring in more occultic power, okay? I thought I had a little picture. Maybe I didn't pull it. Well, on out of that hexagon that's on top of Saturn and out of that six-pointed star in the middle where the hexagon is, you can draw your lines in such a way that you get a three-dimensional cube. And remember, Saturn was the black sun. And all of that black and the black cube and all of that is in worship to Satan. And he's known as Saturn. He's also known as Venus because, remember, he's male and female. It's like he's in everything. So look at these big corporations that have cubes represented in their logos. Here's Microsoft. And the next one, Gateway. They try to make you think that's a little cow with their duality, with their black and white. Look at this next one. This just gets me, y'all. This car that is driving around, it's a cube. They've named it Cube. And most cars actually do have satanic names, or they're named after Babylonian months. Look, I think this one, that might be Nissan. Is that, what's in that little circle on the back?
Oh, that's no, that is the cube. It's not Nissan, though.
Oh, well, what, I don't know what that circle means. But anyway, the car that we're driving, yeah, it's made by Nissan. And in case you don't know it, that's a Babylonian month. Name of the month, because God named the months 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 like that, right? So when you start seeing that stuff in the Bible, that's because they mixed with the Babylonian culture and they started putting that in when they started talking about their months in there, and that's how that spun out, because God never said that. He was not about having Tammuz. And when you look at those names, when you look up the months of the year in Babylon, you'll see that idol worship there. Okay, now I'm going to throw this next one. This is a fast food restaurant that we have here in Texas. I don't know where else it is around the world. But see how that's a cube and they're showing you two sides of it? This restaurant is called Jack in the Box. Now, when I run across stuff online that, you know, when I learn, I want you guys to learn, okay? What God is showing me, I want to show y'all. So listen to this about this Jack. To the occult, and I want to tell y'all something, playing cards and dice, and we've all just thought, oh, it's just fun stuff. It's more of the occultic stuff that we brought right into our homes and we've been doing and playing with this stuff and haven't even realized what we're doing with this stuff. Look at this. To the occult, a deck of cards, they say the Joker represents Jesus. And you know the Joker was always supposed to be the fool, the idiot, the ridiculous one, right? So in the occult, when they have a deck of cards, out of that deck of cards, the Joker is Jesus. Listen to this. And this is the most horrid blasphemy of all. Listen to this. For the Joker is supposed to be the product of an illicit union between the Jack and the Queen. Because right in a deck of cards, the Queen and the King are supposed to be who are supposed to be together, not the Queen and the Jack. But in the occult, they say the Queen and the Jack got together and they produced the Joker, who they say is Jesus. Listen to this. In this research, they said the Joker, as described above, points to the clown fool character of ancient religion. This figure, a real man, was sacrificed in place of the king of the land. Instead of sacrificing the king, we'll sacrifice the Joker. Okay, is referred to as the ritual sacrifice of the king. Since the king had to be sacrificed yearly, that is all about because that relates to sun worship or Saturnalia. When the days would get shorter, then they would say, oh, the sun is dying, right? Who they worshiped. And it goes in cycles. You have your equinoxes, your solstices. And that's what they're talking about. They said, but of course, the king, he was indispensable. But a fool or a clown was selected for the privilege of dying for the king. He was then called the king and treated royally before he was killed in place of the real king. Now, I want to walk you through some of the Bible about this. So they say the Joker is Jesus. And they had their customs back when, ancient customs, that instead of sacrificing the king, oh, we can't do without him. We sacrifice the Joker. And we'll treat him like a king just before we kill him. Let's go to Luke 23:11. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and belittled him. This is Jesus. This is when they were, this is when they were trying Jesus. And remember, Pilate sent Jesus over to Herod because he found out he came from Galilee. So he's like, oh, okay, you be the one. You be the one to crucify him. And he sent him over there so Herod could be the one to book him, so to speak, right? So when he was over there, Herod with his men of war set him at naught. So they belittled Jesus and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Do you see that? The Joker they would treat like a king, like royalty, just before they killed him. Okay, now let's look over here in Mark 15:15-18. Now we're back over here with Pilate. And it says, and so Pilate, willing to please the people, released Barabbas unto them. Because that was the custom to release a prisoner each time at that of the year then at the Passover. He released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him, so he whipped him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple. Purple is a kingly color. It's for royalty. Purple is a heavenly color. And they plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him. Hail, which means long live, King of the Jews. So do you see, here they were putting a crown on him and a robe on him, and they were treating him just like the fool, like the joker, but dressing him up and mocking him. If you read one scripture further, it says they bowed down and worshiped him in mockery. I'll tell you something, they're going to bow in truth. And if they weren't sorry before they died, they're going to be sorry. Okay, and now let's look at John 18:14. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Do you see how all of this, it just backed up or gave witness to that information about the playing cards and what they were saying being true? They did all of that to Jesus. They put robes on him of royalty. They put crowns on him. They mocked him. And one of the scriptures, they gave him a reed like a scepter, but they beat him over the head with it. So they were doing that, exactly what we just read about, that they did back in ancient times. They sacrificed the fool for the king. You see what Caiaphas said? He said it's expedient that one man should die for the people. Okay. Now, I want to bring up the Pope. Look at him. Here he is. And look at this guy next to him. Now, doesn't that guy look like a jester, a joker, a fool? Look at him. I know he has his little army, whoever, that have to dress like this. But he keeps this around. It's like an inside joke, mocking Jesus. So. That's pretty heavy, you guys, when you think about that. Let's look now, let's change gears, and let's look at some triangles and pyramids, which are also sun worship, because I didn't pull many of them last week. I pulled some this week, not a lot. You guys, because I had someone sent me some stuff, I think last night or this morning, and I'm going to share it too. But you guys look around where you're at. This stuff is in our culture, in our world, all over the world, not just the United States. Here's one. This is a big company here. And this is Cat, and you see the triangle right there. The occult likes cats also, by the way. Big cats, jaguars, cougars, panthers, those kind of things. Look at this next one for BMW. You've got the duality with the color, you've got the round disc, and you've got the triangles. Now you have this one. And I'm not hating on this chocolate, it's good, but you got that triangle there, okay? Sun worship, you got Citgo, this is a gas company, and they did theirs kind of 3D where it's got three triangles. Look at this next one, Mitsubishi Motors, and not only where the red is, see those diamonds? And then if you connected lines in between that, you would have white, right? So you'd have red and white, but you would have triangles and diamonds. I'll give you a little tidbit. Remember songs and stuff that all of that's been, you know, the Beatles and Kiss and all of that. That in our music today, Lady Gaga, Madonna, Cher, all of them, it all worships Satan. And I ain't going to go there right now today, but a lot of our Christian music does too, okay? But what I want to tell you about those diamonds, what's that song, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds? Do you know Lucy? That's short for Lucifer. And because remember how he thinks he's a bright, shining star? He's the light bringer, the illuminator, the illuminated one. So there you got him right there. You see that? You'll start seeing this stuff, I'm telling you guys. Look at this next one. I have no idea what this is. It just came up in my research. But Russian venture capital, and they got their little, you know, Illuminati logo there. So you guys, next week I want to tell you, I'm really excited about these last three messages, these last three parts of this, because it almost seems like we're really going to get into the meat of it. But I really feel like all along has been the meat of this thing, okay? Because it runs deep. It's entrenched in our whole world. Okay, and we have to understand the power that he's being given right now. God's allowing him because we're right so close to the tribulation. Okay? But if you're not aware, then you could be in that system and not know it. Okay? Or have a friend that is. I want y'all to listen to something, and I'm going to be bringing out some more of this type of stuff in the next few messages. I am going to get down to what God revealed to me, which this whole message came from in the first place. Next week, I'm going to revisit some stuff Wallace Shoebat talked about. Now, I don't really know about him, because I will tell you, he's a little bit heavy on the Catholic side. So I'm not sure where that's coming from. If he's all about having a heart for God, something ain't right. Something smells fishy right there. I'll say it that way. Now, and then I'm going to talk about a site that's called Armageddon News. We're going to do that next week. But right now, I want y'all to listen to this lady. She calls herself Reverend Michelle Mann. I want you to listen to this. She's going to say it's okay to take the mark of the beast.
If you have taken the RFID chip, you can frustrate and hinder the enemy and his wantonness to control you by cutting out the RFID chip, renouncing it so that it no longer can entrap you. If you have the mark of the beast, the name of the beast or the number of his name etched on your hand or forehead, you can hew it down, cut it down, cut it out of your skin and frustrate and hinder the enemy from controlling you. Satan tells those he is deceiving that once this mark is taken, it's too late. Even if it's forced upon us, Jesus said otherwise. God said that he would that none would perish. That's why it is so important to Jesus to give us this out. That's why God went so far as to send the very payment for our sins, his own Son, Jesus Christ. And if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, making that covenant with him that we believe, if we ask him to forgive us our sins, we are forgiven and we are saved. Jesus said it. If your hand offends you, causing you to sin, cut it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two unholy or uncircumcised hands or feet and be thrown into eternal fire.
Okay, I want to tell you something. That is twisting the scripture. That is not understanding the scripture. That is deception, and that is trying to lead other people astray. I want to tell you something. Whether it turns out to be a chip or whatever it turns out to be, she's going over there and getting those scriptures where Jesus was talking about sin, and she's trying to say, like he says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. So she's trying to say that he said, you can go ahead and take the chip. If you're in a moment of weakness and things are just really bad and everything's coming down on you and you go ahead and take it, you can go ahead and take it to feed your family or whatever. And then later on, you can just cut it out and you'll be all right. No, that is a lie straight out of the pits of hell. And this lady's got a big following. I want to tell you something. I'll call that out. You putting people's lives in jeopardy like that? Shame on you. I want to tell you something. You don't play around with that stuff. You don't take the mark of the beast and think I'll cut it out later when I'm doing better and when I'm stronger and I can stand on my own or whatever. No. The Bible don't tell you you can take it and then cut it out later or cut it off or pluck it out or do any of that stuff. Jesus was talking about sin. He wasn't talking about the mark of the beast, and she drugged those scriptures over there and tried to apply it to the mark of the beast. That's a lie straight out of the pits of hell. I want to tell you something. Look at this next picture. It says it all. It says, just say no to the mark of the beast. Now, some people want to they want to haggle over the mark, the number, or the name. It don't matter. Because some people say, well, it has to be all three. Or you really didn't bow in worship. You really, really? You going to split hairs on something like that and find out on a technicality that you interpreted God's word wrong? You better stay away from all of it. You live holy. Even if you wind up in that tribulation and you turn your heart to God, you don't have nothing to do with the mark of the beast, whether it's the name, the number, or the mark. You say, no, I don't want no part of that. And you lay your life on the line, get your head cut off. So what? That's just a moment, and then you'll be with the Lord in heaven. Okay? Now, I want to read something to you about that, addressing what she just said in that video. Revelation chapter 14, 9 through 11, talks about what will happen to the ones who do take that mark. Revelation 14, 9 through 11. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, that's Jesus Christ. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Stay away from all of it. Don't take any of it. It's going to mean your life. When you're faced with that and you're in the tribulation, it's going to mean laying your life down for Jesus Christ. It's going to mean going underground, on the run, hiding out, doing what you got to do. But when they capture you and they tell you, and it's going to be straight up, they're going to be requiring you to deny Jesus Christ. Do not deny him. Do not take that mark or the number or the name. Okay? Now, I've got some more clips like that I'm going to share with you guys, because we're in some crazy times when people are saying that kind of stuff. It's all right. God understands. You can go ahead and take it, and then you can, you know what he said? He said, study to show yourself approved. The people who are going to believe that video are the people who have not studied their word to know how strong God stands against that and says, no matter what, do not cave into that system. Okay, and I will tell you, I'm going to be sharing something that a targeted individual shared with me, some of the torture that they went through in making them deny Jesus Christ. But I will tell you something, and she did share with me that the Lord, she reconciled with him because she was worried that she messed up. And remember, this is a person that's been targeted and tormented, and they're split. So there are like many of them inside, okay? The church don't really understand this. The churches call it demonic. They just think that person's possessed. They don't understand what's being done to people in this world that are targeted like that. And the Lord showed her that even though they broke her down, well, I'll share it with y'all. They put needles in her mouth, made her open her mouth, and they put needles so that if she closed her mouth, the needles were cutting in to her gums, and it was causing excruciating pain. And they were telling her to deny Jesus, and she would not do it. And she went through this for hours. And she sat there like that with those needles in her mouth, holding her mouth open and trying not to let the weight come down. And she sat there for hours, and finally she caved. She couldn't take it anymore. One of her altars inside of her went ahead and denied Jesus. She was so worried, and she thought she had been separated from him and she'd done the ultimate thing, right? And I'm not saying it's okay, that kind of thing, but what Jesus came to her and comforted her and showed her was, through all of that, her heart was on him. She didn't want to do that. And he's saying, it's kind of like Peter, who really loved Jesus, but then he was like, I don't know him. And he did that three times. Well, it's that thing of God knows your heart. And he knows, see, it's got to be a willing thing. It can't be where you're, like I said, they're not going to sneak up on you and put the mark on you, and then you're like, I got the mark because they tagged me and I wasn't awake and running from them and they caught me. No. And this thing where they're going to torture you down and make you take it and break you, guess what? That's not your free will. Your free will is when you walk right up and say, hit me up, stamp me up, do whatever, right? So it's not going to be like that. What they did to her, torturing her down and breaking her like that to the point of finally she just gave in because of the pain, it's not going to be like that, okay? God knows your heart, but I want to tell you, it's a very fine line. You don't want to be messing around and think, I'll just go take the chip because God's in my heart. Is that really somebody who's about him that's got that kind of attitude? I don't think so, okay? So the main thing is love him with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, okay? And stand for him no matter what. Don't take that mark of the beast, okay? But I do want to say there's some people out there who've already got chips for different reasons and stuff. If you aren't being told to deny Jesus Christ and take this chip, you know, like the targeted individuals, they've been chipped against their will. Many of them. Miss Joy has been in church and a lady prayed and spoke over her, and the next day that chip came out of her forehead. These people are being chipped against their will. That is not taking the mark of the beast. There are people out there that are worried that they've already taken it. Like Miss Ashley, who comes here, had said she had a friend that was in the military and that he called his mom, that he was so scared that he got the mark of the beast and that his life was already ruined now, that he wasn't going to be able to make it because he had that. It's not going to be this thing where it's done against your will. It's about free will. God gives us free will to serve him. Now, Satan ain't exactly the same way, but that's how it's going to be. It's going to be you're going to deny Jesus and take it willingly. Okay? So let's pray, you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the light that you're shedding on these times that we're living in. We thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, who laid his life down for us and shed his blood to redeem us from the hand of the devil. We praise your holy name, Heavenly Father. There is no one like you. You are sovereign and you rule and reign supreme. Heavenly Father, you always have our best interest at heart. You love us, for God is love. The Bible says, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Heavenly Father, I just want to go ahead right now and lift up some people before you, Lord, for salvation. Miss Virginia wrote in about her gay coworker, and she said he's being very mean. He's being very hateful to everybody at work, and the bosses aren't doing anything about it. You know that goes along with all that politically correct stuff that we're dealing with in the United States, where a company has to hire so many minorities or, you know, people of different ethnicities and things like that. That's part of this. And they're not going to say anything to him, and this guy's being so mean. So I want to tell you, first of all, Miss Virginia, let's pray for this guy's salvation. So, Lord, first of all, we do lift him up. You know who he is, and we pray for his salvation, right along with our friends and loved ones who are not saved. We pray for their salvation, Father. We want to see them in heaven. And right now, I want you guys to know, when y'all see this stuff at work or wherever, you got to fight against it spiritually. So right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take all authority and power over you, Satan, and over the homosexual spirit that's operating in this man. Right now, I bind that spirit in Jesus' name. And I plead the blood of Jesus over him. And Heavenly Father, I ask you to draw him to Jesus Christ for real and true salvation, that he would cry out and confess his sins and repent of his sins, Father, and that he would ask Jesus to help him to be who Jesus created him to be. And Jesus didn't give anybody this homosexual spirit. And he's the healer. He's the one who can change the things that the world system says are right and healthy when they're not. A man is supposed to have natural affection for a woman, and a woman natural affection for a man. And Jesus is the one who can restore that. So, Father, we pray that this man would come to Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that you would take that mean and angry spirit off of this man's life. I want to lift up Michelle and Cheryl and Ashley for jobs. Heavenly Father, for everybody that's looking for a job, you know their qualifications. You know where they're going to be the most happy, and you know where they're going to be a light for you, where they're going to shine on that job, where they're going to excel in the things that they do there. And Heavenly Father, you're strategic about the things that you do and where you have us go. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help them to have jobs where they can take care of themselves, because you want us to be able to do that, and also where they can shine for you. Everybody out there looking for a job, Father, I pray that you would open doors that no man can shut, and shut the doors, Father, that you don't want them going through, and give them favor, Lord, when they go on interviews and when they reach out for positions, Heavenly Father. Lord, I want to lift up Yolindi to you. She was being questioned, I don't know, by the police or what. They had had to do with that veterinarian that got murdered and everything. Lord, she is asking for protection and peace in that situation. I've been praying over her, and we want to continue to lift her up to you, Father, that you would keep your hand of protection on her. And Lord Jesus, you're the Prince of Peace, that you would place your peace in her heart. And for Quentin, she was asking for prayer for Quentin. He was badly attacked by some people, and horrible things were done to him, so horrible that he reverted back to a childlike state. And Father, he's worried about going back into that childlike state. And so right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against that spirit of fear that's working in Clinton's life. I bind you, and I command you out and off of him in the name of Jesus Christ. I know that he's a Christian and that he loves the Lord. So I'm not just going to bind you and leave you there. I command you off and out of him right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, spirit of fear, you have to flee off of Quentin's life. You take your hand off of him in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over Clinton. And Father, I lift him up to you, that you will continue to do great and mighty things in his life. I want to lift up Sakara. She's still kind of a newbie, still kind of a new Christian. And I want to lift up the new Christians, Father, because they come under attack when they come and they make a declaration of you being their Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus. The devil comes at them hot and heavy. So, Lord, I just ask you to place that strong hedge of protection around them. And I thank you. I decree and declare Psalm 91 over them and all of your children. I thank you for that wall of fire that you placed around us, Father. I thank you for your angels that stand guard over us and that carry out your commands, Father. And Heavenly Father, for Sakara and all of us, I pray for growth in you, Lord. I pray for more godly wisdom to be poured out in our lives. I pray that you would strengthen us and root us and ground us in our faith, Father. Help us no matter what comes against us, Father. Bless us in our health. Heal us, Lord Jesus. By Jesus' stripes, we are healed. Continue to believe and say that, and you will see this manifest in your life. Heavenly Father, I just ask you, Lord, whatever the needs are on the hearts that are listening to this message, I ask you to move in their lives and reveal more of yourself to them, Lord, and touch them, Heavenly Father, whatever their needs are. And we thank you for all these things that we pray in the mighty and holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord, and King, and soon and coming Bridegroom. We pray. Amen.
Hey, you guys. I just want to take a minute to let's go through how to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And why? Why do we even need to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And also, I'm talking to the people also who maybe walked with the Lord and you went away from Him and you just kind of left it behind and you haven't really been walking with Jesus anymore. That's what we call backsliders. I'm talking to both the person who wants to be saved for the first time ever and to the person who's a backslider who wants to come back to Jesus, because this ministry does not believe in once saved, always saved. Okay, God does His part and we do our part. It's a team. We work together. All right, so the first thing is, you might say, and I hear this a lot, and even my husband was saying it, to be honest with you, before we got truly saved, I'm a good person. You know, I haven't killed anybody. That's kind of the standard these days. As long as you haven't killed anybody, you're a good person. Really, listen to this. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned. To be honest with you, because the world is in a fallen state, we all are born into sin, okay? And also for the people that think, but I'm a good person. I'm good. I don't hurt nobody. I do good things. I help people. That person, then there's scripture in Isaiah that says, for our righteousness, that's when we're calling ourselves good and we're saying, but we're good. We're good people. Our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. That's that thing that stinks that you're like, ooh, get it out of the house, right? Filthy rags to Him. Okay, and He's the standard. He's the judge, Jesus Christ. And so the thing is, if we miss His mark and we don't please Him, we're not going to make heaven. So we want to make sure we got our ducks all in a row, right? And if you look at the Ten Commandments, now we're not a legalistic church. We know we're under grace, which is what Jesus Christ brought. But there's people that say, you know, like, I don't need Jesus. I'm doing the Ten Commandments. Well, if you just pull out the simplest one, I'm just going to pull out one. You shall not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, okay? That's what lying is. And if you say, I don't lie, that's a lie. Everybody lies. Little kids come out lying. You say, did you do that? Did you break this? No, not me. Bam. So come on, you know? So here's the thing. We've all broken at least one of the commandments. And in the New Testament, it says if you break one, you broke them all. Because that's the attitude of God. He's like, if you break one, it's just as good as breaking them all, because that's all it takes to separate you from Him as one. Okay? So let's pray that prayer of salvation. It's real easy to do, y'all. You just say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. Please come into my heart. I believe you died on that cross for me, and I believe you rose again, and you are seated at God's right hand. Please help me to live for you all the days of my life. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, that prayer, you prayed to Jesus in His name. The rest of them, you're going to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Okay? And you'll get all that as you learn and grow in the Spirit. Okay? To see why you needed to pray that prayer of salvation, the scripture on that is Romans 10:9-10. That'll show you about confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart and how to obtain salvation, in case you're wondering how come we're doing that, okay? Now, something that you're going to want to do, you want to right off the bat start establishing your relationship with Jesus. Okay, and in order to do that, you want to hear His voice, right? You want to hear Him. I don't know a person out there that's trying to be a Christian that doesn't want to hear His voice. And how you hear His voice? Read His word. That's His words written down for you and I to read. That's His voice speaking to you without a shadow of a doubt. Okay, then when you pray, you speak to Him. So what's that? That's two-way communication. You're speaking to Him. He's speaking to you. Now you've got a relationship going, okay? And you want to do that every day. Every day, seek Him. You seek Him by reading His word and praying and letting Him know, I want more of you. When you read the Bible, ask Him to open your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears and to give you understanding. And He'll help you understand His word, okay? He wrote it by Holy Spirit, okay? And the next thing that you're going to want to do is get in a good Bible-based church. Now, I'm not pushing any kind of denomination. You just want to find a church that is preaching and teaching the whole Bible. Okay, they believe in the Bible and they believe in Jesus Christ, that he is God and the Son of God, okay, and that it's through him that we have our redemption and our salvation. He's the way, the truth, and the life, okay? And also, I wanted to say that some people think, oh, I just pray for forgiveness one time and I'm done because he died way back when, so now that I asked, it's all already done. No. You need to ask forgiveness and try to make it a habit on a daily basis, because we're in these fleshly bodies before we get our glorified bodies, so we battle this flesh daily. So just, you know, when you pray each day, at some point during the day, say, Lord, please forgive me for all my sins, and go on about your prayer. And he knows you're praying and you're talking to him from your heart, and you talk to him just like you and I would talk, okay? You don't have to have fancy whatever, all right? And ask him to help you grow spiritually. If you want to, let us know that you prayed that prayer. It would be such a blessing to hear your testimony, okay? God bless y'all.